This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us tonight as we talk about a very important and very timely topic as we get ready for the O2 experience. We're going to talk a little bit about sex tonight. And parents, just to let you know, this is going to be a frank, honest discussion of the subject. So, you know, if this is not something that you're ready to talk with your kids about, you might want to have them go play Nintendo or do something else for a little while. But if this is something that you do want to talk with your kids about, hopefully tonight's conversation will be a spark that you can use to talk about it from a biblical perspective and hopefully from a very positive perspective, which is what we're going to try and do tonight. So we're going to get started with that here in just a moment. A couple of things that we want to take care of business-wise. Just switching things around on you a little bit tonight, keep you on your toes. So Fresh Life with Levi will be coming up right after Raw Talk, so stick around for that. And speaking of Levi, he's also going to be here August 3rd for the O2 Experience, also featuring the Marriott and Waverly, and that's going to be a conference that talks about God's plan for purity, God's plan for sex, and why it's so much better than what the world has to offer. That it makes what the world has to offer look plain silly, to be perfectly honest. And so the O2 Experience coming up August 3rd. Tickets on sale for that at Bibles Plus, Parchments, and Chronicles. You can also learn more at O2Experience.com. And for tonight's conversation, we do have Levi joining us, Levi Lusco, up there in Montana. Levi, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And also joining us tonight, we have Jason Garcia tuning in, coming in from Student Ministries here at Calvary of Albuquerque. And Jason, thanks so much for coming over tonight from across the way there.
Absolutely my privilege. Thank you for having me.
And I know that you've done a lot of research on this topic, so I know you're going to be like the stats guy that we're going to go to.
I have stats. I know for a fact, though, Levi also is a statistician.
A statistician. Well, this isn't baseball that we're keeping track of. It's actually something much more important. And real quick, Levi, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about you know, what you're doing up there in Montana and how things have been going. Just give them a quick update on your church there in Montana.
Sure, yeah. Well, we came up, my wife and I, we moved from Orange County up here about a year and a half ago just to start a Bible study. We wanted to just you know, teach the Bible. I had obviously worked at Calvary of Albuquerque as a youth pastor, and then I was a youth pastor and then a teaching pastor in Orange County on the beach there in California. And about a year and a half ago, we came up here to start a little home Bible study, invited a few people from Starbucks and around town to come. And that first week, we had about 12 people come. And within the last year and a half, that little Bible study transitioned to a church of about 700 people. We bought a movie theater that we're meeting in, and we got a radio station signal, and we'll be going on the radio with the name of our church is Fresh Life, so we're going on the radio with a radio station called K-Fresh Life, KFLF, coming up this fall. So lots been going on, for sure.
And Jason Garcia from Student Ministries, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about what you do here at Calvary of Albuquerque just so everyone can get familiar with you real quick.
Okay. I am the assistant high school youth pastor here, Vertical Student Ministries. I serve in student ministries. I'm actually, I guess, maybe the person, the head person, I guess, when it comes to dealing especially with abstinence and sex in the world and stuff like that. In fact, I'm speaking at another student ministry event about it as well. So I just serve as assistant youth pastor for Vertical here at Calvary.
All right. Well, tonight we want to talk a little bit about sex, kind of a preview of what we're going to be doing at the O2 Experience. And then actually next week I'm going to have Michael Leahy join us. And he has just written a book called Porn Nation, which takes this topic a little bit deeper into the areas where it can become really, really dangerous and cause a lot of destruction. Tonight, more of what we're focused on is the positive aspect of sex. In fact, I was saying, let's just call tonight's show Sex is Good. when it's according to God's plan, because that's a message that isn't heard a whole lot, even from the church. We don't hear about sex is good. Mostly we hear about it's sinful, it's dirty, it's yucky, stay away from it, don't have anything to do with it. But, you know, of course, the world says otherwise. And so a lot of young people are getting conflicting information when it comes to this. Church says it's bad. The world makes it look so good. And let's just ask the big question to start off, fellas. Oh, and by the way, if anyone has a comment or a question that you want to call in with tonight, please do so. We'd love to tackle the subject with you. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about this. And let's be honest, sometimes the church doesn't like to answer those questions or have those questions asked. It's a topic we shy away from, and we'll talk about that more here in a bit. But if you want to join in on tonight's conversation, 505-338-5790. If you got a question or comment, don't be shy. We want to talk about this frankly so that you can get good information about God's plan for sex. 505-338-5790. Big question, fellas. What's the big deal about sex? Why are we so obsessed with it? Levi, why don't you start, and then I'll come to you, Jason. So, Levi, why is everyone so obsessed with sex?
Well, I think, you know, the reality is that we're sexual beings, and that's a part of how God made us. I mean, I think you could say, you know, why do we love drinking water so much? You know, because we were made, you know, creatures that have an appetite for liquid. It's a part of how we live. And just in that same way, we have an appetite for food, for water. And those things can both, you know, an appetite for food can become, you know, a problem if we, you know, become gluttons and you know, turn into obese. I mean, just in that same way, we have a sexual appetite. And I think that, you know, from God, that's part of his design for who we are, and male and female, the Bible says God made us. And so the obsession, I think, comes in when that appetite is given an undue and inappropriate, you know, feeding. You mentioned pornography will be discussed next week, and I think that we have a cultural obsession in our movies, our magazines, our I mean, the number one song right now being purchased on iTunes is the song I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, which wouldn't be a problem except it's being sung by a girl. And I mean, I think that we have, because of such the cultural preoccupation with sex out of God's parameters, which is, of course, in marriage, we have a good desire that's gone kind of on rampage, kind of like a sexual gluttony, so to speak.
What about you, Jason? What do you think about this issue? Because obviously everyone's obsessed with it, and let's be honest, that would go with us as well. I mean, I'm a guy. I think a lot about sex.
Yeah.
I'm willing to admit that. But I try to keep both of my thoughts within the parameters of marriage, which, quite frankly, isn't all that hard, I've discovered. And we can talk more about that later. But everyone's obsessed with sex. What's the big deal?
I would agree with Levi 100% on we're sexual beings. Genesis 1:27, like one of the first things God tells us is multiply the earth. I mean it's built into us, and but I have been known to say, and I'll stand by it, I believe that sex runs America. Everything from marketing, and we sell websites, domain names at godaddy.com with sex. They only advertise with women. Everything that we have on TV is built around sex. You have Jamie Spears just had a baby at the age of 17, and she's like a huge Nickelodeon character. Everything in America, I believe, truly is based upon sex, and because of that, we're flooded with it, and it's so hard as a Christian to filter that through a biblical view, because you can't really turn anywhere. Even I would say going in amongst the church, you come to a church. Even at church, working with high schoolers, there are times at summer camps or other times we have to tell girls, hey, you need to cover up. That's not the right way to do it. But they don't know any differently, because that is okay when you leave this campus. So, so I believe sex runs America in everything that we look at and everything we do, commercials, movies, TVs, songs, everything, 100%.
Well, you know, the old adage, sex sells, is certainly very, very true, and it sells just about everything out there. We have Jose on the line. Jose, welcome to Rot Talk, and what do you want to say, Jose?
Oh, I just had a question. Is the adultery, that could also be looked at like slang for in the English language, like adultery, acting like an adult.
Uh-huh. And what's your point with that, Jose?
Well, it could be twisted. Scripture can be twisted to manipulate people's thoughts.
Insofar as scripture is being used to make adultery sound bad?
No, like adultery can be looked at as just acting like an adult, fairly fornicating.
I see what you're saying. Well, that's true. A lot of people have a lot to pick a bone with when it comes to what Scripture has to say about sex, saying that, you know, God's plan for sex is outdated, it's old-fashioned, it's not with the times. And Levi, how do we counteract that when people say, well, you know, the Christian puritanical view of sex, it's just so outmoded and outdated that it's just not even relevant anymore. I mean, what would you say to someone who approaches it that way?
Well, you know, I'd say that, you know, it is an old way of looking at it. It is the original way. It's the same way you could say that God, you know, created fire to be in a fireplace, to be in a stove, to be in a, you know, an internal combustion engine. And you could say, well, that's so outdated. I like to just, you know, run around with a torch and light my walls on fire. And yet the reality is that would burn your life down. And I think that, you know, sex inside of the parameters God gave us, that is the old original, that's the invention. I mean, everything comes with an instruction manual. You know, my iPhone, I just got the new 3G iPhone, and you know what? It tells me not to get it wet. And I could go, that's crazy. I don't want to listen to what this thing says and stick my iPhone in the swimming pool with me. And, you know, I'm gonna reap the consequences, you know? And so I think that God's instruction manual, the Bible, i.e., you know, the Song of Solomon, there's plenty of places in the Bible that speak frankly about sex. They tell us the parameters for using it and getting the best maximum results. And I think that to say, oh, that's just how, yeah, that's how in the beginning God gave the directions. And we ignore those things at our peril.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, let's talk a little bit about why sex is worth waiting for, because let's be honest, we talk a lot about, as the church, and rightly so, about the dangers of sex outside of marriage, about the dangers of being very promiscuous. We emphasize that a lot, and a lot of kids, I think, know that part. And let's be honest, they know it and they don't care. So why don't we talk a little bit more about why sex is worth waiting for? And why don't we start with you, Jason? I mean, what would you say to someone who would come up to you and say, okay, I know God wants me to wait, but it looks like the world is having a lot of fun, and all I ever hear from the church is that it's dirty and sinful. So why would I wait and do it according to God's plan when it looks like the world's having more fun?
Well, I think there's two things. First off, let me speak from personal experience. I was not a virgin when I got married, and neither was my wife. And I didn't really understand, even when I became a Christian, why that mattered in any way, until I actually saw my sister Victoria and her husband Johnny, who actually are in Montana with Levi, and they were pure in every way. They didn't even kiss until their wedding. When I saw that, I saw something that I completely missed out on, and that's the pureness and a true oneness. They will start and they will learn and they will grow together at the same rate forever. And for me, as someone who didn't have that, it breaks my heart when I see that. And my wife and I go to these weddings and we see this, and it's like, man, that's the one thing I'll never be able to give my wife. I can give her our three kids that we have. I can give her anything that I can possibly buy, but I'll never give that to her. So for me personally, inside, it tears me up. Two, actually, there's statistics that show that when you wait for marriage, for your first sexual encounter, and you're a virgin, and your spouse at the time is a virgin, that your love life and your sex life after that, you actually have more sex inside of marriage after that. The sexual experience gives you, I guess, a better feeling, and you get more from it from that. Now, let me be frank and honest.
That's why we're here.
My wife and I believe, have a very healthy sexual relationship, and I could not imagine it being any better. But knowing that it is better when you wait blows my mind. And again, that comes back to something I'll never be able to give my wife. So for me, it's almost a two-folder. Mentally, every time we go to a wedding, I have to look at my wife, and she has to look at me, and we have to look at each other and say, boy, wow, we really messed up. But at the same time, I look at my sister and brother or my sister and brother-in-law, and I'm like, you have something so amazing, so phenomenally great that God created. And when you see that, it's something special. So,
yeah, it really is. And Levi, what would you add when it comes to this idea? Why is sex worth waiting for? I mean, why should anyone bother waiting when the rest of the world is having so much fun? What could possibly be better about waiting?
Well, I would say, you know, a couple of, I would say that the number one, you first of all, secular researchers have found, I think Jason was alluding to it, that there is a higher percent responded in surveys that they have a greater fulfillment of sexual, of their sex life when they didn't have sex with their fiancé before they were married. And you know, you first of all have a longer longevity in enjoying that sex life. I mean, marriages last longer where there wasn't, you know, fornication before the marriages. And as well, you have, you know, the you don't have the guilt and you don't have the baggage of thinking about previous sexual partners and comparing, you know, your wife to all these previous encounters you've had. You know, when my wife and I were married, we were both virgins, and so we have the unique ability of knowing that we're the only, you know, partner that each other have ever had. And so we don't have to compare. I know I don't have to compare my wife to any previous partner and have those images kind of, you know, running through my mind, and she's the one unique person that I've ever been with, you know. And I think that that's part of God's plan for, you know, being man and woman, one flesh, is that you know he's saving you from a lot of heartache.
Yeah, and there is a lot of heartache when we try and go the world's route instead of sticking with God's plan, and most people don't realize that until it's too late. 505-338-5790, if you got a question or comment. I mean, this is the night to ask those questions. You got two great guys here, two pastors, who'd be more than happy to answer your question, and you got three guys here who I think it's safe to say all love having sex and thinks it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's fantastic, and we can tell you why it's worth waiting. And so if you got questions about that, come on, bring them on, ask us. One of the things that a lot of people make fun of for me is that I've never been shy when talking about sex. And quite frankly, I never saw any reason to be shy about it. I'm a Christian. I'm living according to God's plan. I should be proud to say, yeah, I love having sex. It's cool when it's with my wife. If I were to go any other route, man, that'd be a disaster, and I know it. But within the confines of marriage, I think it's awesome, and I love talking about it because it's beautiful. So, you know, I'm not shy about talking about it. Some people poke fun at me of that because, you know, Christians aren't comfortable with that.
Yeah.
You know, doing just simple things. I don't know if you've noticed this, Jason or Levi, but sometimes, you know, if someone asks, oh, how was your weekend? You're like, oh, well, actually, it was pretty fantastic.
Pretty good.
Me and the wife had a good time. Yeah. And people, can't believe you. You know, and they all, you know, blush and turn away. I'm like, what? What's wrong with that? Yeah. We're married people. According to God's plan, we had a great weekend together. Why can't I be happy about that and share that? I'm not going to share specifics. Come on. But I'm just saying, we had a great time together. And yet, Christians are like, so did you see, you know, they instantly change the subject to something else. And I think that may be part of the problem, that Christians are so shy about it. But all that to say, if you got questions, we'll be happy to answer them. 505-338-5790. We have Eric on the line. Eric, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Eric?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about the whole sex before marriage and all that. You know, in all honesty, I've been guilty of it. And in my heart, you know, I knew it was wrong. And, you know, it just, the passion of that just took over, and, you know, it took the best of me. And then now that I'm with my girlfriend and I've converted my life to Christ and everything, you know, we've gone the right way. And it's been hard because, you know, I've had that in my past and it's still there and it haunts me. But, you know, now I know that once we do get married, it's going to be blessed by God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every moment that we share, you know, together in a sexual way is going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. In God's eyes, you know, and the fact that I did that beforehand, it was never blessed by God, and it caused many, many problems in my life and the life of the person that I was with. You know, I mean, it can be a beautiful thing, but when it's done wrong, it can be a horrible thing.
That
it caused many, many problems in your life.
That is so true, Eric, and I thank you for being brave enough to share that, because that's one thing that we don't hear enough of. All we hear is, hey, everybody's doing it. What you don't hear is all the devastation that results afterwards. And in fact, you just don't see the pain. You hear, oh, so-and-so broke up. And, you know, we see all these broken relationships, but everyone treats it like it's not a big deal. You know what? Deep down, I'm willing to bet those people are hurting, regardless of whether they admit it or not. So thank you for sharing that tonight, Eric.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
No problem. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to contribute to tonight's conversation, or if you have a question that you'd like to ask, please do so. 505-338-5790 as we talk about why sex is good according to God's plan. And just going back to that idea of sex being fun, how often do you hear that being talked about to youth, Jason? I mean, it doesn't seem to come up a whole lot.
Well, I can tell you in the past 13 months, sex has been talked in Vertical twice. Mm-hmm. as a topic, like that is the name of the sermon, whatever you want to call it. Kevin Miller did it one time and I did it one time. And we both started off almost the exact same way. Sex is awesome when it's in marriage. But that's about it. We don't really, you know, it's almost like we're trying to, I don't know, want to give them like, oh, this is all the bad stuff that can happen. You know what I mean? And I, when you came to me and said, hey, I really want to do this positive swing, I thought, hey, that's really good. And in fact, this last time I taught on sex, all the bad side about it. Premarital sex and all of that. The next week, Nate Heitzig actually taught on relationships and love, which I thought was kind of a good combo because it's like the world really draws two comparisons on that. And I think when we address it with the youth, we talk about sex. When in fact, I read today that most Christians, when they have premarital sex, it's not because they feel, you know, so tempted by it, but it's because of the love that they have for that other person. And they end up saying, well, I love this person and, you know, we're courting or something like that. Why don't we go ahead and do it? And they, even though when they may get married later on, they've kind of ruined that. And they not kind of ruined it. They have ruined it. They've gone out of God's plan for that. So it's one of the things that I know that, I've just kind of looked at in the past few weeks and really turned around and said, hey, maybe we shouldn't be necessarily, you know, calling them out and saying, hey, this is it. Now, there is a time and a place. But at mm-hmm. the same time, I think there should be that flip of the coin and saying, look, it's so incredibly great. And again, it's one of those things we don't stress because it's a hard stage. It really is because you have people, you have parents and you have – and even kids, they get really offended when you talk about that stuff in church. They want to hear about, you know, Jesus feeding 5,000 and holding kids and all that, which is – there's again, it's a time and a place. But I definitely think it needs to be addressed in a positive manner.
You know, the first time I heard about sex being wonderful and great and how much fun it was at a marriage conference.
I was going to say that's
after I was married. And to be honest, I would have liked to have heard more of that before I got married because I would have liked to have some reason to wait. And I didn't have premarital sex, but I can honestly say I was not pure beforehand. And I don't see any difference. You know, some people say, oh, well, if you didn't have premarital sex, then you're gold. No, I sinned. Same as anyone who had premarital sex. I sinned, and there were consequences for that sin. And like you, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But I was bummed when I went to a marriage conference, and that was the first time. Hey, guess what? Sex is good. Oh, well, sure. Now you tell me. Now that I'm already married, you could have told me that before. Yeah. It probably would have made things easier. I mean, Levi, what do you think when it comes to the idea of you wait until people are married to tell them that sex is wonderful?
You know, I think that, you know, that's a bummer. You know, I mean, when the only time the church talks about these issues is the thunder from Mount Sinai, thou shalt not. Mm. We're misrepresenting God, quite frankly. I mean, because, you know, surely that's a part of it. The prohibitive commandments are important. I mean, but of course, if all the world ever hears or the church ever hears is how not to do it, it's like, okay, that's well and all and well, but what exactly do I do, you know? And I mean, I'm probably an exception as a pastor in that, you know, I feel called by God to speak about sex and to do it bluntly and regularly. I mean, having founded the O2 Experience and, you know, going around the nation speaking about sex to young people in Albuquerque, we've had it in Orange County, we'll be having one this summer again, the next year in Southern California and then Montana again. But in my own church, I make sure to do it as well. And right now, on Sunday mornings, we're going through the book, The Song of Solomon, a book that J. Vernon McGee called the most neglected book in the Bible. And I even, when I announced I was going to do it, we called our series Sex in the Scriptures because this summer Sex in the City came out. It grossed $60 million in one weekend.
and it's the most popular romantic comedy of all time. The world's talking about it. Why should the church be afraid to?
Mm-hmm.
And when I announced my theories, I had a well-intentioned friend who's a pastor say, you know, I don't know about that on a weekend. Maybe you could do that for your Wednesday night Bible study, but I'm not sure about prime time. And I said, are you kidding me? The people who are coming to midweek, chances are they're deep enough where they understand these things. It's the majority that are coming on Sundays that need to hear this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And since we've done it, we did a whole week on purity. We did a week on attraction, who to be attracted to. This Sunday was a Sunday on dating. Next week will be on being engaged. And then the week after that, they'll get married. And then there's an entire Sunday just on them having sex. Because in Song of Solomon, the Bible doesn't blush away from how wonderful sex is in marriage. And God is stoked on it. And it's rad. And Proverbs talks about, you know, a man can be satisfied by his wife's breasts at all time. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's epic. In the right parameters. So, you know, I think that we need to not shy away from talking about these things and letting people know they have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's be honest here. With the church focusing a lot on the negative, trying to combat what the world is presenting, making it look like so much fun, consequence-free, guilt-free, it's just a biological urge, doesn't really matter. And obviously the church needs to make a stand against that. Absolutely, we should, and warn people about the dangers, because it is dangerous. But perhaps the way that we have approached it isn't working, because, you know, look at the divorce rate in the church. There's just as many affairs in the church as there are in the world. Or look at the rate of teen sex among Christian kids. Jason or Levi, I'm sure you can address that. It's not that significantly different from that. There is a difference, which is good, but it's not as significant as some people might think. So, obviously, the approach, or maybe I'm wrong here, one of you guys can correct me, obviously our approach isn't working as well as it should. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. The last teaching I did, I did a lot of the consequences, and I looked up, you know, one out of four women in this, or teenage girls in this country has an STD, and I went through all of that. And I actually had a student write in and tell me, you know, I didn't really like it. I felt that I walked away that you were telling us that's what we were going to do. We didn't have a choice. And I felt bad after that, mm-hmm. that I made them sound like, oh, this is what it is. But the truth is the truth. And really, things just don't lie. And I really have drawn a line in the sand almost to where there's statistics out there that say 9 out of every 10 people that I have in vertical right now, when they go to college after their freshman year, will not come back to the church for 8 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They will leave the church. That's 90% of them. At the same time, 8 out of 10 people at the end of their freshman year in college have had sex. I think those go hand in hand, because I know the guilt and the pressure that you feel from after you have sex and not the way it's supposed to be. Even if you're not a Christian, you feel that guilt upon your life. And I feel that guilt is driving them away from the church. Not the way that should be. It should be they should be coming to the church to get rid of that. But they feel so dirty. And so, yeah, has our approach worked? No. Song of Solomon, in fact, Levi's talking about that. I read that an hour before I came on this.
Really?
And I was blown away, because I've read it before, but I was kind of reading the context of what we're doing here, how great it was. And I really looked at that, and I just had my 5-year anniversary with my wife, and I said, that man totally loves his woman. You know what
uh-huh.
I mean? And not only does he love his woman loves him back, and they see so much in each other. And it's like, I wish, and I said at the time, I wish the high schoolers, even mid schoolers, could see how much their parents love each other in that way, how much they can have that at one time. And really, if they blow it, they could still have it. But really, that's the true pureness of it. And it's an incredibly intense book.
One of the things that my wife and I like to do periodically is we'll read the Song of Songs together out loud to each other. I'll read the guy's part. She'll read the mm-hmm. girl's part, and we read it. And it's just really nice to know that God would include something like that in his word, saying, yeah, this is amazing. I created this. Enjoy it. I didn't make rules to ruin your fun. I made rules so that it would be more fun. And one of the saddest things I ever heard, and I'd like to address this right now and see what you guys think about this, because I thought it was so sad. We'd been married a couple of years, not that long, still newlyweds. We still feel like newlyweds. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, you know, only married a couple of years, and then a friend of ours got married, and so we're talking about it. And me being, you know, not as discreet as I should have been at that time, because I was just so amped about being married and being able to enjoy sex. And I'm like, wow, this is great. And so I was asking him, so, yeah, how about that honeymoon, you know? And I was asking him about that, and it was so sad because he looked very downcast. And he said, you know, it wasn't really as great as I was hoping it to be. And I was floored. I was floored. And, you know, as we talked a little bit more about it, a lot of that I realized came from the fact that he'd for so long been told that it's sinful, it's bad, you shouldn't do it, stay away from it, it'll destroy your life, it's sinful. When you have sex, you sin. And that had been so ingrained with him that now that he was married, he couldn't really enjoy it. And that blew me away that a person would feel that way. And I felt kind of guilty for enjoying sex so much when this guy was feeling so bad about it. And I don't know, Levi, have you ever encountered that type of attitude in the church where someone waits and they feel bummed because they feel like, well, yeah, it wasn't as good as everyone promised because I still feel like it's sinful. I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, I've never come across that. I would tell that guy, maybe he needs a physical exam.
I suggested that, to be honest.
I've never met anybody like that. I mean, I've met plenty of people. You know, where I thought you were going with that was I've met people who basically it's been like the honeymoon was kind of a formality because that's how they've been living. Mm-hmm. And I have a kind of a saying that one of the saddest things that could ever be said about your honeymoon is that it was just business as usual. I mean, it's intended to be like Christmas Day, like, you know, the feast. I mean, it's like I don't eat leading up to Thanksgiving. I stop eating like 2-3 days out because I want to have maximum room for turkey. And, you know, I don't need a box of crackers that morning.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it shouldn't be this special unveiling. The Song of Solomon portrays it as unwrapping a gift from God. And I've met plenty of people with kind of a heartache and disillusionment there. And I think, you know, part of what we're talking about is just the idea of missing out. The world likes to paint this picture that if you don't engage in unrestrained sexuality while you're young, you're missing out. You're not taking advantage of your college years, sowing your wild oats, quote unquote. But I think that the reality is you're missing out if you do live that way, mm-hmm. missing out on the best plan for sex that God has for you. I mean, think about this. Think about when you follow God's plan for sexuality, not only do you never have to compare your bride to someone else's performance or think about some other image and all that, but you also never have to fear that you're going to be given your new wife an STD. You never have to be afraid as a young lady into a marriage that you're unable to have a baby because of a past abortion that maybe left so much scar tissue in your ovaries that they're unable to produce an egg. You know what I mean? You never have to be afraid of these sorts of things. I have a friend I went to school with who contracted the HIV virus in his younger years. And you know what? I look at my life and his now. He's unable to, you know, I mean, there's so many things about his life that he'll never get to live. And I wonder who's missing out more. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm missing out, but I feel like he's missing out on what he could be experiencing now because of taking advantage of his prodigal days then.
Yeah. And Jason, what do you think about what Levi was just saying and this idea that, you know what, you go the world's way, you are missing out. And the great lie is that the world wants to convince you that you're missing out if you don't play the way the world plays.
Yeah. In fact, today I was on it. I don't remember what blog it was. It was a Christian blog, and I felt bad for this guy. He had wrote in. He said, look, I'm 24 years old. My fiance is 24 years old. We are both virgins. We're Christians. We've been saving ourselves for each other. We know that this is right. We're courting each other. But because of college and stuff like that, we're not going to get married for another 4 years. But the urge is so there, I don't know what to do. And he was really just writing in to have people, you know, just build him up in the Lord. And they get good advice on there. And I feel bad because it's one of those things that even as – yes, the world will – I mean, sinners will be sinners. That's one thing. You know, I don't get – I mean, it's like I can't get mad at a sinner for acting sinful. They don't know any better. But when you see it into the church, this temptation that, like, I have to do it, you know, and it almost made – this guy kind of made it sound like, hey, I'm 24. I'm almost past my prime.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, hey, I'm 29. Man, I'm going to hit my prime hopefully in the next 10 years. You know what I mean? And it's really sad the way that America portrays sex as a young man's game. And you have to do it. You got to start in high school. That way in college, you've really got it down and you can, you know, hit the ground running and take care of business. And it's one of those things that I fell right into that trap. Hey, yeah, this is it. This is it. And now I look back. I mean, I'm 29. I'm not that old. But I look back and I'm like, wait a minute, no, like, kids should be kids, you know. Don't try to mix the world and in on all that. But at the same time, I mean, it's out there. It's just such a, it's a hard thing to kind of get around. You know what I mean? It definitely is. I mean, I think you have two different people here. You have Levi who has lived that way, and you have me who's come into that. And I see a lot. I was thinking you were going the same way with that guy. He was just going to say, yeah, you know, I did all this. And that's one of the hardships as coming in. But I agree. Like, I hear a lot of Christians out there that say, you know, well, that's bad. You shouldn't do that. And even, and it's funny you mentioned the marriage seminar. Normally the reason they mention sex is good in the marriage seminar is because the sex isn't good in the marriage.
Yep.
And it's because of whatever. They feel like there's this, like, I shouldn't do that because that's what the world does.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that because then I'm worldly. No. The world took it from Christians and they made it worldly. But you know what I'm saying? And
no,
I agree,
absolutely.
100% with you on that.
Well, you know, and that's an issue that we have dealt with in our own marriage because of our respective past, trying to get past the idea that, you know, what happened in the past, yeah, that was outside of God's plan, and it was wrong then. But now we're married, and all those things that we wanted to do then should be fine now. But because of the guilt and the bad experiences that are associated with what happened in the past, sometimes it hinders the experience now in marriage, which is totally heartbreaking, and it's a struggle to get past. And let me warn you, everyone, if you think it's not a big deal, it is. It will haunt you for a long, long time. If you do not have a pure relationship, it's going to have consequences that may last years, may last beyond that, because sexual intercourse before marriage is one of the most intimate things that can happen that will leave scars that will maybe never go away. And so many people struggle with that, and it's unfortunate because, you know, we should be free to enjoy sex the way God created it. 505-338-5790. If you got any questions as we talk with Levi Lusco and Jason Garcia about sex is good, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to chime in on tonight's conversation with a question or a comment. And guys, let's ask the big question. You know, since we're talking about the world took it from us and they made it their own and now Christians don't know what to do. Well, let's ask the question that a lot of people are shy to ask. Well, then what's okay after you're married when it comes to sex? What are the limitations? Because I know a lot of people feel, like Jason just pointed out, well, I can't do certain things because that's the way the world has sex, and so it's dirty, and I can only have sex a certain way. Well, how do we address that? Levi, do you want to go first on that?
Sure. I mean, the book of Hebrews says the marriage bed is undefiled, and so, I mean, really, the married couple has the promise that their bodies are no longer their own. So my wife my body belongs to my wife. It's for her pleasure and vice versa. And so, you know, it really there's no limits to what we can enjoy and do beyond what each other are comfortable with. And that's what the Bible has to say. So for me, it's whatever my wife's comfortable with that I'm to please her, and whatever I'm comfortable with, she's to please me. And the only, you know, restriction the Bible gives is on sodomy, you know, on anal sex. That's something that's not condoned in Scripture. But beyond that, anything that each person is comfortable with, and that's the whole idea, that sex is no longer supposed to be self-serving. It's not about me just gratifying, you know, myself. It's now about me trying to please my wife. And ironically, the more I focus on her needs, the more I'm satisfied. And the more I focus on myself, the less I am. And that's just such a revolutionary idea, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. It's one of the things that I discovered. And actually, I don't know about you guys, but I'll be honest and say it. I have a lot more fun when I'm satisfying my wife, when I know that she is enjoying pleasure because of what I can do for her, that I get to serve her in that way. That's so much more exciting than, you know, trying to have my own sensual desires met. I find a lot more satisfaction in that. And that is, like you just pointed out, Levi, it's such a revolutionary thought to think that you can give pleasure to someone else, and that is more satisfying than trying to have pleasure just for yourself. And what do you want to add, Jason, when it comes to what are the limits when it comes to Christians who are married thereby free to enjoy sex as God planned it, well, what can we do, and how can we get past the idea, well, the world does it a certain way, and I can't do anything they do, because then it's sinful.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Levi, and that's the one thing. The one thing in marriage counseling that you talk about is sodomy. You just don't do it. That's pretty clear cut. After that, according to 1 Corinthians, you're one flesh. And the rule kind of like with me and my wife is as long as at the she doesn't feel uncomfortable. If there's any limit to where she's uncomfortable or I'm uncomfortable, okay, that's not good. But the great thing about it is you go through it together. Do you know what I mean? It's not, again, the difference, I think, between marriage and maybe a one-night stand kind of thing, if you want to put it in comparison, is marriage, you grow together. You have the opportunity to say, hey, what about this? What about that? What about this? And you can play off of each other quite a bit, and you end up doing that. A one-night stand, you're just kind of like – or even a relationship that's not marriage, and you don't have forever. You kind of have to say, okay, well – let me try to get everything I can. And again, Levi's kind of said it. It's my body is for my wife's pleasure. And I 100% agree that, and that's the biggest change I think that's happened in mine and my wife's relationship. We just had our 5-year anniversary, and it's just within the last year and a half that it's truly been, we've been able to put the baggage to the past, get rid of it, give it to God and say, God, hey, that's yours to deal with now. And now we've been able to say, hey, what can I do for you? And if I can't do that for her, like you said, like if for some reason I walk away and I'm like, hey, I missed the mark on that one, you know, I'm able to really take it as a challenge, be like, my wife has to take pleasure in this. And if she doesn't, we're not playing the same game. We got to be on the same field. So that's one of the major changes there.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you have a question that you'd like to ask, we have Soraya on the line. Soraya, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Okay, so I do have a question. You guys are saying it's best to wait until marriage, mm-hmm. and I completely understand that and stuff, but there's a very big temptation there, and I was sort of wanting to ask Levi this since he, like, I don't know, I want to hear him talk, and, what are some ways to just tell yourself no when it comes to a moment where you have the opportunity? Like, what makes you strong enough to say no?
It's a good question, Levi. What would you say? Levi?
First of all, I'd say I love your heart that you're asking that question, you know? And that you're, you know, first of all, you need to make the decision before you get into the situation, because, you know, the temptation, once it comes, once you're face to face with it, it's too much to pressure in that moment to say no. So what you need to do, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, if you have a pen, jot that down, is a verse that says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. So he had long since made a decision that he wasn't going to sin before he got there. You see, so if you are just going, I'll just wait and see what happens until you're in the backseat of your boyfriend's car after a movie, you're probably going to mess up, because right there it's like a flaming passion. But if you beforehand, right now, and at the O2 experience, we're going to ask people to make a decision right then and there to purpose in their heart what their decision is going to be, so that when they get to a place where they're tempted, that decision's been made, and they can all fall back on that. Secondly, I'd say that you should limit as much as you can what temptation you expose yourself to. Paul said in Romans 13, don't make any provision for your flesh to fulfill its lust. And like you said, those temptations are so hard, you want to make sure you're not alone with a guy if you've made the decision to be pure. So you're not going to, you know, you want to hang out in groups, and you want to avoid situations that you would be prone to tempted. If you're a guy, I'd say, and you're struggling with internet pornography, don't have a computer in your bedroom. Make sure it's out in the living room where everyone can see you. Yeah, get a software that sends accountability reports to a friend or to a parent. So you want to limit the temptation you expose yourself to, number two. And number one, you want to make the decision before you ever get there what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Like, I've made the decision to stay pure until marriage for a very long time. But recently, I have an amazing new boyfriend, and I love being with him all the time, although, like, our circumstance is slightly different than usual. But, like, it's still, like, the want is always there. Like, I don't know if that's normal, but it's just really hard to ignore the lust that, like, flames in me.
Well, you know what? I'd say that's completely normal, but here's the difference from what the world says. The world says you can't control it, so you might as well give in to it. But what the Bible tells us is that we have a choice. When we're in Christ, we're free to choose. Before we were in Christ, we were slaves to sin. We had no choice. But now that we're in Christ, we have the ability, the will, and the strength to choose not to sin and to choose righteousness instead. Now, that doesn't mean that all temptation and all desire suddenly magically disappears and we live in a little foo-foo la-la land where we're never faced with anything difficult. No, the difference is that we have the ability to choose what's right, and God gives us the strength to go forward with that choice. And quite frankly, it's an act of will. But we can choose to make the right choice. What would you add, Jason?
The only thing I would add on top of that is, in some ways, don't let your emotions play tricks on your head, only to the fact that he's an amazing boyfriend. He's a great guy. Don't let that fool you. Don't trust him, and don't trust yourself, because when you put yourself in a situation, you guys cannot control that. And don't, like Levi was saying, don't look at, like, I was there, I was in his car, we were all alone, and it just happened. No, it didn't happen. You got in his car alone with him, and that was the build-up toward it. I've never heard of someone having sex in the middle of a church service because they didn't put themselves in a situation to where that lust controls them. It doesn't happen that way. Normally what happens is they leave church, and the guy's taking her home, and they're sitting in front of the house, and they're talking, and then they start kissing, and it progresses from there. It's a progression that happens. And if you stop the progression early, if you make the commitment that says, hey, the only thing I will do with this guy or this girl is I will go to a movie with them. I will not be in a car alone with them. You have to lay down these structures for yourself. And I've seen it done. It's not impossible. I see it here at Vertical. Nate and Amber, they're getting married soon, and they've done it. I've seen it in my sister and brother-in-law's relationship. They did this stuff to where they love each other so much. If they truly love each other that way, they'll set these boundaries to where, look, hey, we're going to do this, but we will not do this. We cannot do this because we know what will happen.
Does that help you out, Soraya?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in, because I know that's a question a lot of people have had and probably were thinking about but are just too shy to call in. So thank you so much for doing that.
And thanks for actually holding that type of show.
That's what we're here for. Soraya calling in, and if you got something that you'd like to ask, we're just about out of time, but 505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in tonight and ask about sex as we talk about why sex is good according to God's plan. And it is. It's amazing. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And don't let the world tell you otherwise. One of the things that I've learned, I don't know about you guys, one of the things that I have learned being married, you know, especially when it comes to movie portrayals of sex and whatnot, after I got married and found out what sex was really like, I realized, man, the world's got it wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not cool at all. It's actually kind of pathetic. You know, they're trying to make it look all romantic and whatnot, but it doesn't compare to what I've experienced. And I just feel so sad that so many people are being duped by the world when it comes to, oh, look how amazing it can be. I just laugh sometimes, like, ha, you don't know what amazing sex is. I'm sorry, you think you do, but you're totally wrong when it comes to what makes for amazing sex. Levi, why don't you talk a little bit about what you're going to discuss at the O2 Experience on August 3rd before we get to these last couple callers.
Absolutely. You know, the heart of the O2 Experience is to expose that the fact that we live in a culture clouded by a sexual smog of impurity, and that it's really all it, although it seems so normal, what's become normal in our culture, mainstream, is actually a deviation. And the original, what's portrayed in the movies as being weird, you know, GQ magazine ran an article a while back on some guys at Biola College in California who were virgins, and it kind of made them sound like freaks, like, and it actually said they didn't look virgins, they actually look cool. And it's like, so a virgin is supposed to look uncool? So what's being portrayed as freakish is actually what's the best, and all the normal, quote-unquote, is a deviation. So we're going to try and expose that. and show that there's a much better plan, and you're not missing out for storing up sex till marriage. You're actually missing out if you don't hold on to God's plan. But what's even at the heart of it all is the gospel. Because just to say to a group, I mean, we're getting people from listening to MTV on, you know, all over the place coming, hopefully, people that don't know Christ, just to say, okay, be pure, don't have sex till you're married, okay, great, and then they die and go to hell, hasn't really helped them out too much. So the heart of it is the gospel, to bring the life-saving news of Jesus Christ, and then to show how to live a pure life before God.
And like we said, it isn't until our hearts are changed that we'll be able to make the right choice anyway. You can tell people as much as you want about God's plan for sex, but if they haven't accepted God's plan for their life, well, that plan isn't going to make any sense whatsoever. We have a couple callers that we want to try and get to before we wrap things up tonight. We have Kristen on the line. Kristen, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Kristen?
I just wanted to make a comment and say that I really think that you guys are doing a good job with this broadcast that you're doing. I wanted to say that I lost my virginity at a really young age, and I've been married for 7 years. I'm 28 years old, and there's a lot of bondage there when you do break those limitations, and it does make things harder sometimes because you have to, you've got to deal with your past, and you got to let that go and let God deal with it. But I think that, you know, lots of people, they're teenagers and stuff like that, they're expecting sex to be extremely wonderful, and it's worth the wait. So if there's anything that I've learned, it was worth the wait, but there's a lot of things that I wish that I hadn't done.
I think a lot of people can say that, and hopefully people listening will not make the same mistakes we have, right, Kristen?
Yeah, it's hard. It is. It's very hard, but I think that you guys are doing a good job because you have to set those limitations and you have to set those boundaries. Otherwise, you are going to fall into a pattern of, oh, my gosh, I'm going to do this because this is in my mind and this is the temptation that I'm facing, and you can't wait till it's too late or it's going to happen.
That's right. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Kristen. We appreciate you sharing your comments tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good night. And next up, we have Teresa on the line. Teresa, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. I just had a question. I just wanted to know what verse you guys had quoted from the book of Romans.
Okay.
I was referring to Romans chapter 13. It is a verse, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
Okay, what verse was that?
You know, I don't know, but you could read the whole chapter. It's killer, and you'll find it in there somewhere.
Okay, and I just have one thing to say. I think that everybody should take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12 through 20. I'm not too sure if you guys quoted that earlier because I just tuned into you now, and everybody should kind of meditate on that.
Well, that's good advice. Thank you so much for sharing that, and thanks for calling in, Teresa.
Yeah, have a good evening.
You too. Okay. All right, and wrapping things up tonight, we have Crystal. Crystal, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Crystal?
Yes, I had wanted to know that if you've been with a spouse for so long and you're married, and then you get divorced after you've had your kids and everything, but yet you go back to them, would you guys consider that a sin?
Well, how would you answer that, Levi?
The question is, if you were married and you divorced and you reunited with your old spouse, is that the question?
Yes.
I'd say that that's biblical. I mean, that would be the best ideal ever. I mean, the reason God hates divorce is because of how hard it is on each person and the kids and everyone involved. So if you were divorced and God reconciled you with your old spouse, that would be the highest good possible.
Does that help you out, Crystal?
Kind of. What if we're still not married, though?
Well, that's a great point. If you were full-on divorced, then you would want to just get remarried. You wouldn't even need to throw a big wedding. You could just go down to the Justice of the Peace or have your pastor in his office redo the certificate and vows. I would say, yes, you do need to be remarried if you are full-on divorced in the state's eyes. But in God's eyes, that would be just killer. There's nothing better that could happen.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Crystal. I hope that helps you out.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. Well, guys, the time flew, and I'm sure we could do a whole nother hour on this, and especially as people have more questions. But Levi, real quick, what's one final thought that you'd like to leave with everyone as we wrap up our conversation on why sex is good according to God's plan?
Well, I would just, you know, reiterate, like you've called the show tonight, that sex is good, and that, you know, that the sex isn't the problem. Like Joshua Harris wrote in his book by the same title, sex isn't the problem, lust is. Lust clouds and pollutes what sex is, and so we need to strip away what the world's added, lust, and just get back to the original invention, sex, as God intended it, and it's just killer, so...
Well, thanks so much, and Levi Lesko is going to be out here August 3rd for the O2 Experience. Again, there's more info about that at O2Experience.com, and there'll be tickets available, Bibles Plus, Parchments, and Chronicles during the regular work week if you want to get tickets for that. And you can even get a group discount, so you might want to bring out your youth group for this and hear more about this topic. And Jason Garcia, what would you like to part with everyone as we wrap things up tonight?
I will, since Levi covered it pretty well, I'll just address maybe the parents of of youth out there in Albuquerque or in the state of New Mexico. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to talk to your students or your kids about sex. Because here's the honest truth. If you don't talk to your students about sex, the world's going to talk to your students about sex. And the truth is that sex is great. It's the first thing God told Adam and Eve to do is to have sex. Two books in the Bible are about love and sex, and that Song of Solomon, the Book of Ruth, is a love story. So it's interwoven into the Bible, and for us to take it away from God sharing it to them and allowing the TV or the media to share what sex is to them, I think is one of the biggest problems, and maybe the foundational problem that we're having with our youth, is that they don't know what God says about it. And God says, guess what? It's fantastic, and do it. Just do it in marriage, and it's worth waiting for.
It is absolutely worth waiting for. I always love in Genesis where it talks about Adam and Eve, how they were in the garden, they were naked, and not ashamed.
And the Bible points it out. They were there, and they were both naked.
Naked.
It points it out.
Not ashamed. I mean, that always blows my mind, and that is a model for marriage, that we can have that kind of intimacy, that kind of openness with each other, that we can have that kind of transparency. That's what God intended our relationships to be like. And what has the world done? The world has gone and messed it all up, and then they packaged it and made it look like fun. That's like trying to, you know, when every year at Halloween, everyone's always worried about going out trick-or-treating because there's going to be razors in the candy bar. Well, that's what the world has really done when it comes to sex. They put a razor in the candy bar, wrapped it up, and said, oh, yeah, it's great. Go ahead and try it. And we don't even bother checking the package. And then we get hurt, and we're scarred for life, and we feel bummed about it, and we wish someone would have told you otherwise. Well, that's why we were here tonight, to tell you otherwise, that it is worth waiting for, that the candy is absolutely the best candy you will ever get a chance to taste when you go according to the manufacturer's plan for it, all right? And trying to enjoy it any other way, it's just going to ruin it, so don't do that. And, again, O2 Experience is going to be August 3rd if you want to hear more about that. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the dangers of when we give in to the so-called enjoyment that the world has planned for us, as we talk with Michael Leahy and Porn Nation. And it's a big problem. And we'll talk about some of the devastating effects. And again, remind you that, you know what? God's plan is so much better than even anything you could find in porn. And, yeah, that might surprise some people. What? No way. It's a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry. Billions of dollars can't be wrong. Yeah, they can be. So thanks so much for Levi Lesko joining us, Jason Garcia. And as I said, switching things around a little bit tonight with tonight's scheduling, so we'll hear more from Levi right after Raw Talk is all wrapped up. Thanks for joining me tonight. Have a shway week in the Lord.